The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And I'm happy to see that you guys are downloading and using the new Podcast One app. You can get it at the App Store or Google Play. And, man, you can do so much on this app. It's unbelievable. You can access behind-the-scenes photos, extra articles, content. You can chat and connect with other fans of the podcast you listen to. And you can watch over 1,360 videos. You can literally watch some of your favorite podcasts in virtual reality. It's like you're sitting in the room with them, being a part of the show. Technology so amazing these days. There's really no other podcast app out there like it, like the new Podcast One app. So download it now at the App Store, Google Play, and check out those 360 videos. Very, very cool. I got to do a couple of them next time I track in Beverly Hills at the Podcast One studio. But in the meantime, my fourth book, No is a Four-Letter Word, is available for pre-order at my Amazon store, Amazon.com/IamJericho. The book's not out until August 29th, but you can pre-order it now. It'll be sent right to you as soon as it's released. It's my version of a self-help book, 20 principles on how you too can achieve your goals. How did I become a rocker? How did I become a wrestler? How did I become a podcaster? All of my secrets will be revealed to you in No is a Four-Letter Word, which is out August 29th. Order it now. Pre-order it now. Amazon.com/IamJericho. Okay, today on TI. Nia Jax is here, my favorite diva in the company right now. I made her prove to me during a drunken night of craziness that she's actually related to The Rock. It's a great story. You're going to hear that one. You also hear everything that Rocky's done for her and her career and her family. Nia's also talking about her days as a plus-size model. She's got a pretty face. She's so pretty. She's so gorgeous. She spent 10 years modeling before pursuing wrestling. She'll explain what motivated the career change for her. You'll also hear how she came up with her name, what Beyonce has to do with Nia's ring costume, and how she found out she's being called up to the main roster. Almost as good of a story as when she found out she was going to be in the women's four-way match at WrestleMania. Nia Jax is coming up, but first, get your tickets to the DDP UK tour. You can witness DDP Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page's crazy stories, over-the-top motivational points, and hilarious Q&As for yourself, all right? The DDP UK Tour starts September 8th of the year of our Lord, 2017, just in a month or so. You'll be able to meet Dallas in person, take a selfie with him, have him sign an autograph or two for you, and get the lowdown on the proper way to do the positions of his yoga program. So join in on the inspiration meets perspiration and experience Dallas's infectious energy for yourself. Go to DDPUKTour.com to reserve your spot and get all the details. That's DDPUKTour.com. He's also doing DDP yoga workshops in Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and London. Okay, so if Dallas isn't going to be in a city near you anytime soon and you don't live in England, get the DDP Yoga Now app or Scotland and get on the track to healthier living. Okay, you know what DDP has done for me and for my career. I just got the DDP Yoga Now app on my phone, so I just open the app and do the workout wherever I am. Over 150 workouts on the app, as well as the opportunity to do live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. And DDP can help you get in shape and live a healthier life as well. Dallas has thought of everything because he truly cares about everyone. He wants everyone to live a healthier life, meet all their fitness goals just like I did. And his DDP Yoga program is amazing for anyone and everyone, any age, any skill level. And with the app, you track your progress, get nutrition tips, recipes, all the motivation you need to stick with the program and stay on your game plan. And Diamond Dallas Page has made it so easy for you to get on board his life-changing program. Just take advantage of this tremendous deal that Dallas is offering. He's giving you 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY merch, swag, and clothing. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. It's time to own your life. Get the best shape of your life, physically, mentally, all across the board. Do it with DDP Yoga and go do it now. And before we get into Nia Jax, I just want to say quickly, I went last Friday night to Irving Plaza in New York City to be a part of the David Z Memorial Concert. It was originally supposed to be the 10-year anniversary of his 80s cover band that he was a big part of called Rubik's Cube. He had asked me to come and be a part of this show months ago, and I was like, oh, I don't know, I might be busy, I'm not sure, I got to check my schedule. And so, lo and behold, I was at the show, but for different reasons. So, if you've been listening to this show, you know we lost David a few weeks ago, tragic motorway accident, highway accident. But it was a fun time on Friday to see some guys that I hadn't seen that were all part of David's life and sing a couple tunes. Me and Rich Ward, Rob Affuso from Skid Row, Steve Brown from Trickster. We went on stage and did a great version of Crazy Train. Did a Twisted Sister melody with Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister and Mike Portnoy, my old bud. But Constantine Maraluz was there from, you know, Rock of Ages, American Idol, and Eric Martin from Mr. Big, the entire cast from Rubik's Cube, and there's so many other people there, John Moyer from Disturbed, just a lot of guys and girls who meant a lot to Dave, and Dave meant a lot to them. Of course, his brother Paulie Z, still one of the most annoying people I've ever met in my life, but he's been through a lot, and it was great to see him be a part of it. So anybody that came to the show at Irving Plaza, thank you so much, and thanks for helping us to remember David and to I don't know if closure is the right word, even if that even exists, but it was cool just to be around and do a little fellowship and just be around some other people who appreciate and love David Z as much as I did. So thank you for coming to the show, and thank you for listening today with my guest, the sexy beast herself. She's awesome. I'm talking about Nia Jax. Here she goes. I'm really excited. I'm here with Nia Jax, and we are in like North Dakota.
Yes, Bismarck, capital of North Dakota.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did not know that. And the funny thing is, I just have to tell you this. I pull up and there's, you know, a little gaggle of fans, about six or seven fans. Yeah. So I go over and, you know, take some pictures or whatever. And this one chick is like, so what brings you to Bismarck? And I'm like, the show. She's like, oh, okay. I just thought maybe you were just coming. And like, yeah, I just happened to be in Bismarck, so I booked myself on the show tonight.
The food brought me to Bismarck, so North Dakota.
Where were you yesterday?
We were in Rapid City, and South Dakota.
I see on your Instagram you went to the, what's it called?
Mount Rushmore.
Right.
Random. It was so awesome. It's like one of those things where you're kind of blown away that it took
That people, it really exists.
That people randomly picked the side of the mountain, went up, and decided to just, you know, chip in some faces, and it.
But it's cool. It's cool to see places like that. Like, cause you, I remember when I saw like the Sydney Opera House, cause you see it all the time in pictures and movies, etc. And then when you actually go there, and it's a real thing.
I was born outside the Sydney Opera House.
Really?
Yeah, there was a hospital outside.
On the street?
You know, my mom just popped me out right on the street. Almost, though.
Really?
My mom was like nine. I was overdue or whatever. Uh-huh. And my dad's mom really wanted to go to the flea market. And my mom was like, my dad was at work or something. My mom was like, okay, I guess I'll take you. And she was just like really being like a bitch about it. Uh-huh. Sorry, Grandma. And anyway, so takes her. My mom's like, oh, crap. Like walking. She's like, oh, my water broke. My grandma's like, one more stop. We'll be right there. Literally, like my mom said, I was like coming out of her vag. They had to rush her over to the hospital, which was by the Opera House. Literally, I was like halfway through. Like my head was like, shit. You know how people, babies get the cone head?
Yeah.
I literally had like a cone head like coming out because like my mom was like trying to hold me. It was disgusting.
That's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Just the most random bit of information there.
Sorry.
So, why? Did she not know that she was about ready to have a baby, or is she on vacation, or did she live there? Or?
My grandmother?
When being in Sydney.
No, my parents met there. That's where they lived.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you never know.
I have to ask you quickly, though, who are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore?
Lincoln, Washington, Roosevelt. I didn't know who the other was. Was it Jackson?
There's one random.
Was it Jackson?
Is it the first? I'm the worst because I'm Canadian, some hiding behind my Canadian thing.
I can't blame it on anything.
Well, no, you're born in Australia, yeah, so you're half Australian. Yeah. But I think it was the first four presidents, maybe. I don't know. Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
Or the four great. Listen, listening at home, tweet us at Talk is Jericho, yes, and let us know who the four founding fathers are in Mount Rushmore as we sit here like a couple of dummies. So yeah, it's cool to talk to you because it's funny, like when you first get called up to the main roster, I don't know, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, whatever, yes, it was, and you kind of hang a little bit. But over the last couple of months, it's like we've hung out quite a few times. Yeah. And that's when you really get a chance to get to know somebody and have some fun.
Like on tour, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, so we were in Germany.
Germany.
And I got in an argument with you because
I
was not convinced that you were actually related to The Rock.
Yes.
Because all Samoans say they're related.
Yes.
And I talked with Roman Reigns about this, where it's like even if you're from the island, somehow you're a cousin or
kind
a brother
of.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And you are actually adamant because you really are related to
The
Rock.
I had to literally bust out the lineage and like drop some knowledge on you.
Because I was real in your face. Like, no, you're not. Like, yeah. Just admit it. You're like, no, I am.
No, I did. I think at one point I got you in a headlock and I was like yelling in your face like, I am.
So what is the lineage there then?
So, I know it's going to be really confusing.
But it always is, but let's try.
My grandfather is the uncle of Dwayne's grandfather.
Okay, so we're talking about Peter Maivia.
Peter Maivia, yes.
So your uncle...
My grandfather.
Oh, so your grandfather...
My grandfather is...
Is the uncle of Peter Maivia.
Peter Maivia, yes.
Okay, so...
So Dwayne's great-grandmother...
So Peter's dad's brother is your grandfather.
No. Oh. So my... So Dwayne's great-grandmother mm-hmm. and my grandfather are brother and sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there actually is some shared blood there.
Yes.
So what technically is Dwayne to you?
Like oh my god.
Sixth cousin removed or something?
So I think his grandfather's my second cousin. His mother would be my third. He's like my fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's hard.
It's
like,
all in there.
Yeah, and then like in like Samoan culture, everybody's like a cousin or an uncle, but if they're over like a certain age, you call them uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because some people will be like, so Dwayne's your uncle? And then Dwayne will be like, no, I'm a cousin. Like, easy. I'm not that old. I'm
right. You're kind of getting up there, baby. You're getting up there. So when you were a kid, did you know him or did you hang out? Or
so Dwayne's family, like Peter and my aunt and all them, they were traveling the world wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was in New Zealand and my parents met in Australia.
Okay.
So we didn't move here to the States until I was like around like 7 to California and whatnot. And I think one time when we were in Hawaii, we all met up when I was like a baby.
Okay.
But honestly, like they were living and moving all over the world and I didn't get to actually like re-meet him again until the premiere of Walking Tall. Because we were living in San Diego and he had the premiere in LA. And
mm-hmm.
my aunt was like, to my dad, he was like, oh, Joe, do you want to come up and see the premiere? And my dad was like, do you want to come with me? I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you're like the same thing with my dad. Like, oh, that's your cousin. I'm like, okay, dad, sure.
Yeah, well, you get that all the time just in normal life.
Exactly.
You know, how's this my cousin? Well, yeah, it's your cousin. Yeah. Don't you remember your cousin, James?
Yeah. So
you played with him once when you were 5. You know, like, what?
Yeah.
I'm 46 now. No, I don't remember my cousin, James.
Yeah. Especially in the Samoan culture.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're like, oh, my last name, Fanene, is like a big name.
What is your actual real name?
My real name is Savalina and Savalina Mililani Fanene.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fanene,
yeah.
Do you whip and Fanene? Has anyone ever said that before?
That's
not bad,
no,
right?
Nobody's ever said that.
Okay, good. That's
that
a good
the
one.
First. I like
so,
that.
So your last name is what were you saying about it, though? Fanene?
It's a big name in the Samoan
okay.
islands. And so everybody, like, when I get introduced to a Samoan,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm, like, non-authentic because I'm such a white girl. But they're always like, yeah, you're related to them and them. I'm like, yeah, totally. For sure.
Of course. So are you actually related to anybody else in the business?
Not blood related.
Right, okay.
No.
Yeah, because Rock's...
But we're all, you know, just a big, like...
Yeah, yeah.
I consider everybody my family, though.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're on the road here.
Yeah. We are a family.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just, you spend so much time together that you get to know each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, ups and downs and all that sort of thing. So, so what was it like when you went to the Walking Tall premiere? You've never done anything like that before?
No. Well, I was a plus-size model, so
yeah.
I was used to kind of, like, being around celebrities, but I'm so tall, and celebrities, like... When you meet them on TV, you're like, oh my gosh, like that's crazy. And when I went there, I was a giant in comparison to everybody. And I was on these heels and I'm thinking like, It was. It felt really awkward. I felt really awkward.
Because those guys are like Tom Cruise or something. He's like 5 foot six.
Yeah, you know Michael Clark Duncan was there.
Oh, he's big. He was big. Yeah.
He was big. And I like watching. Was it the movie with Tom Hanks?
Green Mile.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, he's massive.
Yeah.
So I walk up to him and on my heels, and we were like eye to eye, and I was like, oh. Like I, you know what I mean? It just made me feel like, damn, I'm a big bitch. Like, shit.
Let me ask you about this. So I've never really known much about plus size modeling.
Yeah.
And you have a very pretty face. It's a very model face. Oh, so is that kind of and what do you do? Same modeling that waif models do?
Waif. They're considered straight size.
Oh, okay. Straight. So, literally, because they're straight.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Curvy, straight, curvy to straight size. Uh-huh. I did a lot of lingerie modeling. Like, for plus size, like Macy's and like Dillard's and Bloomingdale's. I was like on a billboard in New York one time in like bra and underwear.
No kidding.
Yeah. It like, we do the same kind of modeling, but, you know, we're not like, they're just now recently busting into like mainstream, like Vogue and Cosmo and stuff. Like Ashley Graham's huge in the plus size, like pushing forward, like all bodies, like body positivity. But I basically did the same stuff, like runway.
Really? Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. So if you're talking about, let's say, you know, like Cindy Crawford is like one of the most famous.
Yes.
Like, who's the most famous plus size model? Is there one girl that stands out?
As of right now, Ashley Graham.
Ashley Graham.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like drop dead gorgeous, like, but she's super curvy. You know, she's got the boobies, she's got the booty.
But there's different styles of women, right? So why shouldn't you have all different types of models?
Exactly. I never knew there was plus size modeling. Like I've always been into sports, like super tomboy, no makeup, all that kind of stuff. And somebody was like, hey, have you ever considered modeling? And I was like, haha, you're kidding, right? And I got signed out of college or out of high school to New York. And
really? So did you have to send in pictures or audition, or how does that work?
There was a scout. There was a manager. He just like saw my face and he was just like, I think you should get into modeling, and send some pictures to some Wilhelmina, New York, this modeling agency, and they signed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're like a New York hot shot model.
Oh, kind of. Yeah.
How long did that go for?
Well, I went back to college, so it was on and off for like 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See, that's the thing. Okay, so you're talking about your cousin and your family, the lineage of Peter Maivia and Rocky being in wrestling, and you are playing sports and plus size modeling, and then just decided to start wrestling fairly late for a performer in this business, right?
Yes.
What made you finally decide to want to try it after all these years of being around it and doing all these other things?
Well, WrestleMania 28, me and my other cousin Christian, he's like this 6'4" like dancer, he's crazy. We decided to go out to Miami to go watch Rock versus Cena. And I mean, I've been to shows before, but like we were sitting front row during the main event and I was just like, holy crap, like this is insane. This energy, the feeling. And I just had mentioned something to my aunt real quick. I was like, hey, do you think I could do something like this? Like, I'm athletic, like why not? And so we were in the process of like trying to get me into a wrestling school. Offa.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Offa. He has a school over in near Orlando. Mm-hmm. And so my aunt was like trying to get me to go there. And I was doing all the stuff that I needed to do. And then Dwayne had heard about the Performance Center. And he said, well, why don't we have you try out to see if maybe that's even something they'd be like that you'd want to do, like get in there and see what it is. And so I had the 3-day tryout at the Performance Center. And
how was that? Because I heard that it's very much a cardio-based exercises and drills that are trying to break you, basically, right?
It was. I've never been. I mean, I'm an athlete. I've been.
What sports did you play?
Basketball, volleyball, soccer, baseball.
Wow, track, everything. And even as a bigger girl, like you're still
everything. My dad always made sure I was playing sports with boys growing up as a girl. So like, I was always super competitive. Like. Everything, like
wow, yeah.
Basketball was my main sport. I got like scholarships for basketball.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I chose modeling over basketball though.
So are you bigger than most of the girls in the basketball court?
Surprisingly, not.
Like, well, they're taller, right?
Yeah. Once you get to a certain level, college.
Uh-huh.
There's like you get your 6'4", 6'5", 6'6" girls, and I'm like, damn.
The bean poles.
Yeah, and I'm all shit. I don't feel that big, and then I feel kind of weird, like oh god.
Yeah.
But yeah, I tried out. It was definitely cardio based. It very intense, like. Bruises all over my body, you know, taking those bumps for the first time, you know, it was amazing though. It was kind of like, oh my God, I need to do this.
An awakening sort of thing, right?
Everybody was like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. Like I need to do this.
So what happened after those 3 days?
After those 3 days, Canyon Seaman, he just said, hey, we'll get back to you in a couple, in a few months and let you know if you got signed or not. And I didn't hear anything, you know, from anything, from anybody. And I was like, oh gosh. But then Hunter had contacted Dwayne and let him know, hey, we're gonna give her a shot, bring her out to Orlando and sign her. So
see, but it's a no-brainer to me, because not only because of your lineage, but you're like an anomaly for the girls here. You're bigger, but it's still pretty face, but you're bigger than all of them. So there's a perfect place for you, you know?
Well, I never thought that would ever be, just because I feel as though all the women are gorgeous and athletic and have their own thing. But like being bigger, and any other bigger woman that I've seen, they've kind of portrayed them as like
monsters.
Yeah. And so I just like, oh, it might not be for me. They might not want me, but I mean, I fell in love.
Were you a fan of wrestling when you were younger?
Oh, yeah. Well, me and my brothers, we'd always like typical set up like our forts in the house. And my brother would always, my brother would always body slam my younger brother and just like freaking give him the razor's edge always into the couch. And my mom would be yelling like, stop throwing your brother around. And I'm sitting there freaking hitting people with like body slams and elbow drops.
Right.
But so like, of course, I just feel like it's an almost an American pastime. Like everybody at one point
has a phase, right?
Like nobody I've ever met in life has ever not known wrestling, or watched it, or like as a kid loved it. Mm-hmm. So I just, yeah.
So you're always into it.
Yeah, always.
It's interesting because there's always been a tradition of like really good, big athletic girls. Most of them were in Japan. Aja Kong, who was big. There was Bull Nakano.
Yeah,
and there was a girl from Calgary. Her name was Rhonda Singh, and she was the Monster Ripper.
Oh,
which I always love that name, Monster Ripper.
That's awesome.
But you should look up some of that stuff on YouTube, because she was really big about your size. She was like more butchy looking and kind of, I don't want to use the word ugly, but she wasn't attractive facially, but she was a killer.
Yeah.
And they actually brought her here and made her Bertha Faye, Bruno's girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay.
Totally different thing. When she was in Japan, she beat chicks' asses, you know?
I'm a big fan of watching the Japanese women. Like,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Aja Kong, like, when I first started getting that, I used to watch her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Sarah Del Rey, who, and like, was my trainer down at Performance Center, who, like, was really one of the people who kind of just, like, had a lot of faith in me when I didn't think that I had any in myself. Like, she was, like, a big fan. Her and Joy Mercury.
Uh-huh.
Big, like, fans of me. And so, but I watched her, Aja Kong, Bull Nakano with Alondra. I mean, they had some amazing matches. Some really cool stuff. Like,
Didn't take it as serious back then. It was kind of just the obligatory women's match.
Yeah.
But if you watched them, they really worked their asses off,
right?
I mean,
they put on some shows. Like, some of the stuff, you know, that, you know, don't get me wrong, our girls are putting on some great, great matches. But back in the day, like, nobody really remembers that those girls went and beat the shit out of each other. Like, they went at it and were athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, freaking Bull hitting that leg drop off the freaking top of the cage.
Yeah.
What?
Was it like a front flip leg drop, too, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, she,
the top, I mean, of the cage.
She nailed it, too.
Yeah,
like, every
yeah.
single time. Like, how does she...
How'd you like to be the person sitting under that waiting for it to come?
I don't...
And just watching, like, she's a big girl.
Right?
You know, like, the flip and seeing it go.
Well, I'm... So, obviously, being the big girl, I don't ever, like, take a big bump or have, like, somebody... Let somebody take my body, which I'm thankful that they trust me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at WrestleMania, triple powerbomb...
Right.
From the girls, which I was just like...
How did they do it?
Charlotte got in the middle and...
Were you on the top rope?
I was on the second rope.
Okay.
And I was about to hit a good old bonsai bomb on her.
Yeah.
She freaking stopped it, grabs me, and then you have Bayley and Sasha grabbing each leg. And I was just a different feeling. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then boom, hitting that bump.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Not so bad.
It wasn't bad, but I was like, this is different.
Yeah, right.
It was amazing.
When you were, and we'll go back to WrestleMania in a bit, but when you were first getting started, you mentioned that Dwayne kind of had called Triple H. Did he give you some advice, or does he give you advice?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. He definitely gives me advice.
What did he tell you when you were first going to start?
He just, when he first started, was just, you know, well, first we tried not to let everybody know I was related, because the first thing he said is you might catch a little heat being related to me. So
just getting in the back door because she's the Rock's niece. Cousin?
Sure.
Cousin, whatever.
Why not?
Rock's kin.
Yeah. His younger cousin.
yes, much younger.
But yeah, he was just like, you know, you don't need to go around telling people that, and I didn't.
Which is smart.
Yeah. He's like, just make sure you're respectful, always shaking hands, you know, asking questions, staying later, you know, working as hard as you can. He was like, that's one thing. Like, as long as you work hard, nobody can ever question who you're related to.
Right. It doesn't matter at that point, right?
So, yeah, he constantly gives me advice on certain things, you know, because this is such a different culture, you know, and when you don't come, when you're not like coming from it, like right off the bat, like you have to learn the ways. And so I'm always like, there's certain times where, you know, people are saying like, oh, you know, she doesn't respect it. And I'm thinking like, oh crap, what did I do?
Right.
And he's always like, oh, okay, I get it. And then he just smartens me up to things. So,
it's a good guy to have in your corner.
Yeah.
There was a great picture at the Staples Center when you were having a match and he was there and he's watching you on TV.
Yeah.
Once again on Instagram.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a great, really cool kind of shot about how interested he was in your career.
Well, he, you know, obviously people who see him on social media and like in the public eye, they're like, oh, he's a great guy. And he really is. Mm-hmm. He truly cares and makes sure that, you know, like even when I'm like insecure about my body or right, they started announcing my weight before matches. And like, you know, I was kind of like, oh gosh, like, yeah, I know I'm big, but I mean, knowing my weight is a whole nother story. Like, I'm a heavy ass chick. Like, and I hit him up immediately. I was like, dude. Mm-hmm. And he's so good at, I'm not saying spinning, but just seeing the positive side to everything.
Right.
And he just put me completely at ease. And that's what he does. Like, he puts any kind of insecurity I have, like,
puts out the fires
100%.
Pep talks.
Yeah.
Why did they start naming your weight?
One, because like you can say that I'm a monster and this and that. I guess it's more of like showing people like she's this weight and can move.
Is it a legit weight or is it wrestling weight?
No, it's my weight.
Okay, your real weight.
Oh yeah, I'm heavy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm heavy. Yeah.
So who broke you that news to you?
It was Sarah Stock. She came up to me. Okay. One of the producers. She was just like, hey, you know, like trying to like.
Because you never ask a girl her weight or her age.
Hello?
How old are you? No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you? How dare you?
So she came up to you and told you?
Yeah, she told me so. And then I was like, And then Johnny Ace was like, hey, this is why we're doing this and letting me know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And then that's when I was like, bam! They're going to announce my weight tonight. It's going to be great. I was like, I'm literally almost 300 pounds.
Uh-huh.
I'm heavy.
Yeah.
And like outweighing some of the guys. Like,
right.
I'm a heavy girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, yeah, but it's almost 300 pounds of like, you're beautiful. You're athletic, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because it does stand out because no one else's weight gets announced to the girls, right? I don't even know, do they announce the weight of the guys anymore? I don't even know.
Sometimes I hear it, maybe tag teams.
Maybe.
But
I'm just so oblivious now at this point. I don't even know if they could be saying, you know, out comes Shitty McGee.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know the difference.
Yeah.
I don't even listen.
Yeah, but you, I mean, you're just a different kind, though. You are so much fun. You are like the second you hit the stage, the look on your face, like when you walk out, people just you have an aura feeling. Even when you like your interviews and stuff,
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're awesome.
How did we start doing that? Oh yeah.
Whenever we'd ask you a question, like in the Germany tour,
lots of drinking involved.
The first thing, oh yeah, we're like, okay,
yeah.
Or you'd be walking down the hallway, and I remember we're in my room, and I'm like, oh yeah, just like from way down the hall.
That's Paul Stanley from like Kiss Live Kiss shows, like, oh yeah, oh yeah,
yeah,
we got some good looking girls, oh yeah. That became a thing.
I remember Kevin came on the bus and he said, oh yeah, I texted Jericho last night saying, I could have sworn I heard you. Like, what are you doing, bro? And you're like, rocking.
He said, where are you? Rocking.
Rocking.
Yeah. Well, you got to be.
State of mind.
You got to be. See, but that's the thing that's cool. Like when you go overseas, and it wasn't like this for a while. Not that it was a bad thing, but it wasn't as much of a, not a party. It's not a party, but a camaraderie, you know, fellowship, everyone hanging around. I mean, that's what I've loved about this last year here is that everybody just wants to come and hang out and have a good time. And it's fun.
Well, that was my first experience, obviously.
Was that your first overseas?
No, Europe. Okay. I went to South America and then I did the European tour in November.
Okay.
And then Germany, but I warmed up more in the Germany tour just because I was like trying to be respectful. Like, oh, I don't know if I could just jump in and hang with the boys and be there all night. And so Germany was kind of like my, all right, let me warm up.
Your coming out party.
Yeah. We had that 6-hour bus ride.
Oh yeah.
Good times on that ride.
See, but that's another thing too. I've never met a Samoan that wasn't good at wrestling and didn't like having a good time.
Oh.
You know, that's That's the Samoan way.
Well, you know? I think our life, our culture is just very laid back. Yeah, loving. Island. Yeah.
But chill. Also, too, when Samoans drink too much, they get crazy. Are you like that?
No.
Okay.
I am the happy drunk. Thank goodness. No, I do have family members where it's all of a sudden you see that like glazed look.
Yeah.
And then you're like, run.
Yeah,
run. Nobody go near him. Or you're just trying to like hold him down and make sure he doesn't fight everybody.
They still might catch you, but you better run.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah, try not to run a gator.
Have you ever experienced an angry drunk Samoan?
Oh, all the time. All of them. Roman is not angry. He's more laid back, cool. But Haku, Big Sam, Little Sam, Barbarian. I mean, they're Tongan, but it's the same thing almost. So you see that with all the Yokozuna.
Oh, yeah.
Had that side to him.
Haku has some like legendary.
Yeah, the legend. But he's like the nicest guy in the world.
Person.
When you talk to him.
Oh, yeah.
But then when that switch flips, look out.
Exactly. You know?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is Talk Is Jericho.
So when you're talking about showing up and you had your 3-day tryout and then you finally get signed.
Yes.
What were you signed to do? Start training at that point?
Yes. Yeah. So at the Performance Center, which is this amazing.
Amazing
facility.
Place. Yeah.
Yeah. I moved to Orlando from San Diego, mm-hmm. and you train Monday through Friday, and you have shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and so that's basically you're just learning the ins and outs of the business. So you're not only getting in the ring for 3 hours a day, then in the weight room for 2 hours a day, then you're in skull sessions where you're watching film of wrestling,
right.
breaking down and knowing the psychology of it. So it's an amazing place and complete 9-to-5, basically.
What was the hardest thing for you to pick up at first?
Ooh.
Was there anything that stood out, or were you fairly natural for everything? Sound egotistical.
No, not to sound. No, like there was I pretty much could do about everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like there was a drill where we had to go. I'm afraid of heights sometimes, and we had to go up. And I'm like, oh God.
The top rope?
Yeah. And they like, just fall. Like the big pillow pad, but it was kind of like, just fall. And I'm like, it's like a trust fall, but you're watching yourself like eat crap.
Yeah.
But that was probably one of the things where I was like, God damn.
Well, you're not going to be spending too much time on the top rope anyways, I don't think. So do you remember your first match?
My first match was with Becky Lynch. We were at this place. It was called Stark. It was a live event, NXT live event.
Is that in Florida?
It was Stark, Florida.
Stark, Florida.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I was all pumped up and just so nervous, like my adrenaline was pumping.
Right.
And I had to remember all these things in the match. So I'm going through the match. I'm like, okay, we get in there. Becky's like, by now, she's amazing. You know, she's so sweet. And she was walking me through it, helping me. So we're in there. And, you know, there's only like 50 people there.
Right.
It's not like sold out arena.
Yeah.
And there was one part where, you know, she said, okay, I'm going to cover you. And then just make sure I'm on your right side because she's going to hook her armbar. I was like, okay. So she covers me and she's like, yeah, so kick out and then make sure I'm on your right side. I'm like, okay. So she covers me and then I'm like, okay. I was like, she's on my right side. Okay. And then I'm just like, 1, 2, 3. The ref hits 1, 2, 3 and I'm like, oh, crap. And then so I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot to kick out. And so like Becky gets up like shocked like, and then she's like, yeah, I won. And I'm sitting there going like, oh, damn. I just like totally forgot. I mean, everybody was like.
No idea whatsoever.
No clue
right?
what was going on. I'm just like, totally, like, never forget that.
I always love that, too. Like, it's happened to all of us. And when you do, you're always kind of shocked, a little pissed off. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
The fans are happy that the good guy or whatever won. And the good guy's standing there, like, with a pissed off look on his face.
Yeah.
He's like, what is he so mad about?
Or she's
so mad about? I was in Japan once. It was a baseball stadium show right when I first started. And it was with this guy, a partner from Calgary. His name was Eric Fries. And the only thing that they told us was when this one dude hits a moonsault, make sure that Eric Fries makes the save.
Yes.
It was like 1992. There wasn't a lot of moonsaults at the time. It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And the Tron of the stadium was so big, like the screen, that the guy was looking at himself on the screen when the dude hit the moonsault. So it was like one, two, and he's like, oh shit. And I had to kick out, but I was like, what were you doing? So I was looking at myself on the screen. I couldn't look away. I was like, you know, 20 feet high. I'm like, oh, you idiot. We'll never get invited back to Japan.
Damn you know? It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your name in your first match?
It was Lena. Mm-hmm. I was still Lena then, just because we hadn't gotten like a name yet. But then I was Zeta for like
Zeta.
Half a second.
It's a jungle name.
I know. I thought I picked it. I was like, oh, this is a cool name.
Oh, you picked it?
It starts with a Z. Like, yes, I got approved. Like, uh-huh. I got this. And then once I put it out on social media, somebody like in the higher ups was like, who the f*** is Zeta? Like, no, we're changing that name. Scratch that shit. Go back to Lena. In the meantime, I was like, oh, damn.
How did you end up with the name Nia Jax?
I literally just submitted a bunch of names, and I liked Nia is like
Nia.
Nia is.
Is that the proper pronunciation?
No, Nia. Nia is how I pronounce it. Right. But Nia, NIA, is like a Samoan like girl name that you know a lot of Samoan girls have. And I was like, ooh, but Nia, I like to pronounce it as Nia. Mm-hmm. And Jax, like at the time I was like into Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I was super into Jax. I was like, ooh, Jax is hot.
He's hot. Yeah.
I was like, throw Jax. In there.
See how it goes.
Yeah, and then it came about.
Because that's how it works, right? Like everybody always tells the story that you have to put down a bunch of scratch names and then who makes the final decision on it?
I believe Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, NXT, he was the one who didn't like Zeta.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he actually has the final say in like...
Do you remember any of the other names that you had?
Oh, gosh. Nala.
Nala.
Like, I know, I was like a Lion King. And I did love the Lion King. Whatever. I had Nala, Zeta.
Nala.
Just the random stuff out there. Yeah. Like some Samoan names that I'm like, ah.
When I was first starting, I had to think of a name, and I thought of the name Jack Action.
Oh.
And so I was practicing signing Jack Action with a little star on the end of it, like Paul Stanley, by the way.
Yeah.
And Lance Storm, who I was training with, he looked over and saw this book with all these autographs. He's like, Jack Action? You're going to call yourself Jack Action? I was like, I don't know, maybe. He's like, that's a shitty name. Don't call yourself that. Stupid. And I was like, I'm not going to call myself that. Forget it.
Yeah.
Man. And I was like, oh, I thought Jack Action would have been so good. Yeah, I could be Jack Action right now.
That would have been actually
pretty
cool.
This could be Talk is Action. You know, it could have been it. But thanks to Lance Storm. I'm Jericho.
Damn it. But yeah. I liked it.
It could have worked. So when you start working, like, and you're doing these small town Florida shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, like Stark. I've never even heard of that before.
Yeah.
Is it some interesting times with the fans there?
Oh, yes.
Shout out to the fine people of Stark, by the way.
Very fine people. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're in like the armories, like tiny little areas. NXT is where you go in, you go early. We all set up the ring, the chairs, the mats, you know, everything.
Right.
And so, I mean, these fans they're just as diehard as, you know, any other WWE fan. They follow you. And I mean, I get ripped to shreds, you know, oh, you're gross, you're this. And I'm like, well, I'm the bad guy, I get it. But like, at first I'm kind of like, ouch, rude. They're hurting my feelings there a little bit.
It's hard to have to, when you first start, to really understand that when you're a heel, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that don't like it.
Well, it's still like it's definitely a thing to get accustomed to, because I'm not used to walking down the street and people are like, you're fat, you're gross, you look like a dog. I'm like, oh.
Ouch.
Like, come to date, man. But Stephanie McMahon said to me one time, she was like, yeah, one time I was reading through your tweets and I saw a lot of people just ripping you to shreds. She's like, that's when you know you're over. And I was like, oh, thanks.
Thank you.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. When you have a room full of, arena full of people booing you or chanting asshole, well, they don't do it as much anymore, but asshole. I was like, does that bother you? I'm like, no, those are cheers for a heel.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you want some sort of reaction. Like when you're just sitting to a crowd that doesn't know you and you're kind of like, that hurts a little
bit. That's the worst, I always like your ring costume too. Reminds me of Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Oh yeah,
where'd you get that?
So I'm like a big fan of Beyonce and like high fashion modeling, and she has her costumes like on the
stage
road.
Work,
it's just they're out of control. Like if you ever like looked it up, she's the one who has like the shoulder pads and the peplums and stuff like that. And so I literally, like, took a picture, sent it to my girl Sue Kotulski, and I was like,
Shout out to Sue, does my stuff too.
She's the best, So I was like, here. And she just, she was really good with knowing my curves. And I was like, I want this, like, but people, of course, like, oh, look at your space suit. Look at that. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, I like my space suit. I was like, just so you know, it's kind of high fashion. Like,
well, that's what I said. Ace Frehley is the spaceman of Kiss. That's what it reminds me of. That's cool, though. Now we know the Beyonce Beyonce look. So when you start working regularly in NXT and start getting it, who are some of the good people that you had to work with there?
Bailey. Bailey was the person who actually helped me grow as a performer in NXT, just because at the time, like, she was the top, which she still is, but she in NXT, the, you know, I didn't get to work with Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky was the one, like, live event, but they kind of went up soon after,
right?
And Bailey was the one who actually helped me, like, find out who I am in the ring, because she's so good, and she's such a a general. She just sits general, there, yeah. And like,
because you're super green.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Still, like,
yeah, sure, yeah.
I feel like, I mean,
how long have you been wrestling for?
Like 2.5 years.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it takes 6-7 years to even figure out what the hell you're doing.
And
you
I'm
know?
And I'm still, yeah. So she really, really helped me getting in the ring and just learning who I. And then, you know, being the bigger monster girl, like, other matches were kind of just like, you know, throw them around. Squash him, boom, boom, boom. The one person I actually was able to go, like, for 20-minute matches
over
was Bailey.
And learn.
And learn about, like, myself through her.
Like, yeah,
She's amazing. Yeah.
When did you find out that you were getting called up to the main roster?
So the draft was a big chit-chat. And that night, they had said something, oh, you might be drafted tonight to SmackDown. I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's... Really? Like, shocked.
Quick, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think anything. Like, I'd only been wrestling on TV for like 7 months.
Right. Yeah.
Not long. And then they pulled me. They literally had us all sitting in the performance center, and they made me sit in the front row. And they're like, yeah, you know, just sit here. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm sitting there, like, texting my mom, because they say you can tweet. And, like, I was like, okay. So I'm, like, texting my mom, like, hey, it's on the network. Like, watch it. Da, 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 da. And then I'm, like, literally putting my phone away as, like, Stephanie announces that I get drafted to Raw. And I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
I literally was just like, my face, they had, like, a reaction of me going, huh? And it was, like, a gif. And, like, my friend at the time, Stuart, he doesn't wrestle anymore for NXT, but he was there, Hugo Knox, and he, like, gave me the biggest hug, because it was just kind of a shock. I didn't think I was...
Right.
I mean, they could say it, but until it's...
Like, until it's real, yeah. Especially they kind of swerved you by saying SmackDown.
Exactly. And then, like, soon after, I get a text from Dwayne. He's like, oh, I knew this was happening. I just didn't want to tell you. I'm like, you jerk. But it was cool.
So they filled him in on it first?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you leave, there's a lot of people from NXT that are up here, but is it hard when you first leave? Like, you're leaving your whole team of people, like you said, Hugo Knox and all these other people?
Yeah. It's like a comfort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was at first sad because... my best friend Lexi got drafted to SmackDown, and I got drafted to Raw, and I was like, oh, but I was really happy that we got drafted together.
Right.
And, but yeah, it's like a comfort blanket, because, like, you know, NXT, we were traveling, but we get to be in our beds at night, you know, we get to be home a lot, and this is, you know, you're on the road.
Yeah.
We're on the road like 5 days a week.
And you've never experienced that, because you come in right from doing no wrestling to NXT, which, and not being, you know, the crotchety old timer, but it's pretty high tech and pretty easier to learn and work there than it would be if you were doing the indies and you got Philly on a Friday and Detroit on a Saturday and that sort of thing.
Well, we had the luxury,
you know,
at NXT, like, if I knew I was having a big match with Bailey somewhere, like, we would go to the performance center. We'd have our producers or coaches. We had Sarah Del Rey, Matt Bloom, Robbie Brookside, Norman. They're helping us put these matches. Their minds are helping us mold these matches together. So it was like this, like, comfort blanket, you know. NXT, you're just like in this cozy little blanket, and then you're out here, and it's kind of like, all right, well,
yeah,
like, no, it's like graduating from high school to college. It's like you're on your own.
Sure, you're in the big leagues now.
You're in the big leagues. Like, you can't, you know, mess around. But it was. I mean, I'm older. I'm not, you know, I've traveled the world, so it wasn't like, oh gosh, it was definitely different.
Being,
you know?
Like you said, it's taking that step up.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I just remember right now, when I first started to get to know you, was at Tough Enough.
Yes.
When you would be the stand-in. Yeah. We would do like rehearsals,
yeah.
And you couldn't have the real contestants there, so they would always have you guys there, right?
And I would see you in there.
Yeah, it was funny, but I could say, like, she's really funny. Like, we'd ask you stupid questions, you'd give big, long, intricate, stupid answers.
Yeah. Well,
you were great, and Zara was great as well. She was good.
Zara, she's witty.
Yeah, and I like that. I was like, oh, these girls are really funny. Yeah. I like them, you know?
Well, that's another thing that the Performance Center does help. Like, we do promo classes, and so you get to explore your character, who you are, like what you have and stuff like that. Like in the beginning, my promos were like, I was like heavy, dark makeup and like, I'm going to kill you, like sort of things. Cause I thought like, well, that's what they want.
Right.
You know? And then towards the end, I was kind of just like being my smart ass self and it worked.
Which works better. Yeah.
Yeah. Which works.
Who was the guy with the giant head that was down there that was doing that with you guys? He had big, he's like a giant.
Oh, Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan.
He's
yeah.
a giant, but he's not a giant.
Yeah. He, what is that when they, their thyroid.
Yeah, it's
he had
the
a tumor. Yeah,
acromegaly.
Acromegaly. Yeah. So he has that. He's had that his whole life. So he's like enlarged hands, enlarged head, like extremely strong, crazy, like ridiculous strong, super muscular. I think he just debuted on NXT recently.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And
he was funny too.
Super. Yeah, he's very witty.
He was Daniel Bryan's favorite guy.
Yeah, he was. He's super funny. He would so. At the NXT, we have, like, our own lounge in the PC, and, like, he would always, like, be watching. He was like, look at my debut. And there was – he was, like, in the background of, like, one of the Monday Night Raw matches, standing up with his bald head in an Austin 316 shirt. I mean,
that's what you're saying. He's, like, a little person giant.
Yeah.
Okay. He's the world's shortest giant.
Yeah. He's, like – because he's only, I think, like, 6'2".
Yeah, which is still a big guy, but he's a giant. Like, but, he's got the features that Big Show and Kali and those guys have.
Exactly. Everything just – bigger. But it was fun, the Tough Enough. We'd sit there and stand there just like talking shit.
How did you
time.
Get that gig?
They just they just hit up a bunch of us like, hey, go hang out and stand in for Tough Enough. And you know, us were just like, yeah, of course, like Jericho's gonna be there, Paige is gonna be there, let's all go hang out. Hulk, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, Vince will be there. And with Kevin, we're like, oh yeah, for sure we wanna go and like get FaceTime, you know.
See, did you take it as an opportunity for that?
Oh yeah. I feel like anytime you can get in front of like the big guy and just people in the business, like I think it's a good, especially in NXT, because you know we look up to everybody, and like any main roster people came into the Performance Center, we always wanted to like hey, you know, shake hands, get to know them, hear any kind of like feedback or advice they give you.
Sure.
But definitely any kind of FaceTime.
But like I said, that was good for you, because it showed me like that she's got a good personality, which is this business is based all around that. Oh, you know, and some of the people that were up on the stage did not have good personalities.
Yeah.
And you can see that. I'm like, guys, you got a live mic and, you know, a minute to say whatever you want. You gotta be good.
Yeah, you never know who's listening.
No,
you know, who's
you don't.
Paying attention,
right? And,
you know, like,
and I'll tell you who is listening for sure is Kevin Dunn, because he's watching the rehearsals. Vince might not be, but even if he isn't, Kevin is.
Yeah,
it all gets around. You know, gets around. Was Dusty helpful to you and influential to you?
Oh gosh, Dusty was so helpful, because that was one thing. Like I said, I always have the dark makeup and be like really, and Dusty would be like, "Baby, you're beautiful." He's like,
you gotta do it in a dusty voice.
Yeah.
That's a tradition.
He's like, baby, you're beautiful. He's like, you thick, you gorgeous, got curves. And so he'd always like, he's like, I always love beautiful, beautiful, thick women. he would just make me feel so good.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you don't need to sit out there with all that gross makeup and try to be, he's like, you be beautiful out there. I mean, he literally helped me try to find, you know, like just be myself, just a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
just
sure.
be that extra character that like people want to be. Like nobody's going to relate to me as like this nasty.
The jungle girl killer or whatever it was.
Because it's not even me.
Right.
And so I can't really be authentic in the ring like that. And so he always like, and he would sit there and be like, oh, that was great, honey. He's like, I wore this like shirt one time, a little low cut. He's like, I like that shirt. He's like, we're more like that. I'm like, okay, Dusty. Yeah. He always loved the ladies.
Yeah.
Their low cut shirt.
That's good though. But just to go back to what you're saying, the best gimmicks are always your own personality just turned up to the nth degree. You know?
Yeah.
That always works better.
I always have a good time.
If you're miscast and trying to play something you're not, it always shows.
And yeah, you just can't like relate to the person. And you're like, oh, that just doesn't seem right. Like, Bliss, go back to my best friend Bliss, like she was like the sparkly, bubbly, blue tutu girl, you know, when she was a baby face. And when I was just hanging out, we were always like sassing each other, super witty back and forth, like that's just who we are.
Yeah.
And I remember we would go on tour and she just turned heel with her boys, Blake and Murphy. And that's when like she really kind of just like, I think, grew.
Came out, yeah.
And everybody fell in love because she's like, not only she's beautiful, she's got this like cute little body. Everybody's like, oh my God, she's hilarious. Like her facial expressions. And I'm like, that's who she really is. Like that's who I see every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just turned up on
just to show that
another scale. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to talk one thing too. I'm talking about friends and family and all that stuff, because you mentioned Atta before, Rocky's mom, and she's always she's the best. She's super friendly, she comes to a lot of the shows.
Oh yeah,
all the time. Mm-hmm. Did you hang out with her a lot? Once you reconnected with Rock, or before that, or
yes. So she, I was still living in California, and she was in Florida, and like always emailed her pictures back and forth. She's one of the nicest, most genuine, positive people.
Yeah.
Nothing gets her down. She's literally, you know how Dwayne is always like, always working? He got it from his mom. Mm-hmm. Literally got it from his mom. My aunt never sleeps, always works. Even when she has nothing to do, she finds stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I love being around her. Yeah. She's just such a positive energy. And she's been in this business for about 40 years, if you think about it.
Her whole life.
So she, I mean, she valeted Peter way back in the day. Like, she's done this. She might not have been in the ring wrestling, but she knows.
She's been in the business,
She knows the business in and out. She, like, you know, back when her mom and Peter, they started promoting, you know, she was a part of that too, helped promoting the business and getting people in and knowing talent. Mm-hmm. And so she's such a great mind. Whenever she'll watch my match on Monday Night Raw and at WrestleMania, she'll always watch my matches and she'll always give me feedback. She's like, oh, that was great. She's like, last week she actually called me. She's like, Lena, I love how you have this presence. She's like, but when you're walking out, you could give a little more. Like, you know, she's just like really like, you know, you can give a little more. Like, you know, you don't really talk much because you're this monster, but, you know, give them some facial expressions. Give them a little like face attitude. Like, speak with your eyes. Speak with your body if you can't speak with your mouth. Like, just.
That makes sense, right?
Right? And I'm like, duh. And she's like, you know, make yourself crisp. You know, like, you don't have to be like everybody else, but, you know, you be quick and fast and dangerous. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, Auntie, it's crazy. Like, she's never, you know, she's.
Well, it's like Eddie Guerrero's mom. Her name is Linda. Never taken a bump, but been in the business her whole life because her family was in the business too. So, yeah, she probably knows more than 90% of the people in this locker room right now because of all the experience that she has.
Yeah,
I love that she at the Hall of Fame. I randomly ran into her and she had a photograph of me, Rock, and Bruce Willis in Hawaii from like, gosh, 15 years ago. Yeah. And I was like, how long have you had this? Like, have you been carrying it around this whole weekend? She goes, yeah, I had it in my pocket. And she figured I'd run into you somewhere. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
You took the time to put that in your purse or whatever just in case you ran into me.
But that's how she's very thoughtful. She has, like, a printer that she prints out her pictures because she's all about real pictures. Like,
yes.
Even when she takes them on her phone, she prints out and puts them up on her
wall. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So she knew, like, she printed out a bunch of pictures, like, and she was like, okay, I'm going to keep them. She has a little thing she folds
up. File.
Yeah, she puts it in, and she's very thoughtful like that.
Tell me about the accent that you guys had. I remember that,
too. Oh, yeah. So we were at Uncle Afa's school's. They have, like, a banquet, and we were there. We were celebrating, you know, like, the end of the year. They have a bunch of festivities. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. And my aunt always goes. It's a tradition. She asked me to go. It was, you know, I lived in Orlando.
Up in Allentown or was it?
No. It's in Claremont.
Oh.
Outside of Orlando.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so she lives down in, like, the Fort Lauderdale area. So she drove up, picked me up, and we went to this. It was awesome. Went to the banquet. It was cool. And we got in the car. And it was, like, it's so funny. We got in the car. We're going to go to the after party. Like, you know, my aunt loves the party. She's like, let's go to the after party. And so we're getting in the car, and she was driving. And I'm like, literally 5 minutes before the accident happened, I said, Auntie, put your seatbelt on. Mm. You know, because she like, you know, she sometimes puts it on, sometimes doesn't. And I'm like, put
a your child seat- of the 60s
yeah.
and 70s.
Yeah, yeah, right? I was like, put your seatbelt on. She's like, okay. We're just driving down the road following the caravan. And literally, we're pulling up to a stoplight, and all of a sudden, we got hit. We didn't see anything. It literally got hit, like, head on. Like, well, from the side.
So
we didn't really see it, like, straight, because there are cars in front of us.
You're looking straight, and you get hit kind of kitty-corner from the side, yeah.
And, it was crazy. It felt like it was outside of my body, but airbags deployed. You have OnStar screaming. I couldn't breathe. She's screaming her head off. Because she got the biggest hit of it, and I don't know what's going on. And so it was pretty traumatic. Luckily, like, so at the time, apparently, a drunk driver was being chased by the cops because she got pulled over, didn't want to go to jail because she had, like, some other felonies, kept driving, So the cops,
because that always chased, works,
right?
Right.
So the cops chased her. She lost control, jumped the median, and
oh
hit us.
My gosh, how fast was she going? Do you know?
I think she was going like 55, but it was
that's
like a,
crazy.
It was a 35, and we're coming to like almost a complete
stop. You almost stopped, yeah.
So it hit us pretty hard. Yeah, I my aunt suffered like some bruised ribs, a little bit of internal stuff, and cracked a wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I had a snapped collarbone.
Oh my
it was
gosh.
Only like 2.5 months into my training.
Wow.
So it was crazy.
That's terrifying. Like just when something like that, you know, happens, just to realize how quick things can go.
Seriously. Well, I want to thank the car because I think she was in a nice, like we had a Cadillac SRX. Like the car had sensors. So really right before we actually were hit, I saw the airbags coming out.
Oh, wow.
So the car sensed something. So the area deployed the airbags before we actually got full impact. So I feel like that car saved like our life.
For sure.
Because...
I've never had that before. What happens when the airbag comes out? Is it hard? Is it soft?
I don't even remember. Oh. The seatbelt locked so fast that I didn't really go. That's when my collarbone snapped.
Oh.
So I didn't really like feel the airbag. So,
but it just comes out?
Yeah, and... it just popped out like right in your face.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
It was insane.
So how long were you out for?
I was out for like almost 3 months. Mm. I had Dwayne literally like next day flew me and my aunt down to Fort Lauderdale. Put me right with his surgeon at the University of Miami.
Oh, wow.
And Lee Kaplan, and he was just like, if you want to wrestle again, you're like, that's going to break. Because, you know, collarbones can heal on their own.
Right.
He's like, but with the stuff you're going to do, it's most likely going to break again.
Wow.
So he was like, we're just going to put a metal plate in there just to solidify. And he's like, you'll probably be out for up to 6 months. And I was like, I just started. I was like, 6 months? And he was just like, yeah. He's like, unfortunately, that's usually the recovery time. And I was like, oh, f*** that. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to get back soon. And
so it was just mind over matter?
Yeah. I mean, I just, like, took my vitamins and, you know, did a lot of stretching. And
you know what's funny? I broke my arm in 94, and you see the steel plate that's in there, the scar and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they told me that I was going to be out for 16 weeks. And once again, at this time, I'm an independent wrestler. I had a steady gig in Japan.
Yeah.
I had to miss one tour already. And it's like, I couldn't afford to miss another one because I might lose my gig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, I have to be ready in 7 weeks. I had 7.5 weeks. And I went to my doctor in Canada. He said, you should be ready, but they might have said 16, just protect their own ass because that's the medical field. So I said to the doctor, like, if I start eating like calcium pills, would that help? And he's like, you know, can't hurt, whatever.
Yeah.
I ate a bottle of calcium pills a day.
Oh, dang.
My mouth was chalky with this freaking calcium pills. But lo and behold, after 7 weeks, he goes, I can't believe it. It's healed.
Yep.
I said, see?
Yeah.
Mind over matter and calcium pills.
Calcium pills.
It worked.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
If you really put your mind to it, you
seriously.
Get back.
Yeah.
So there you go. You avoided it too. So when you came up to the main roster, you get this push. It's like this monster girl, which is great.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it was like the reintroduction of the squash matches.
Yes.
Strowman had them, and then you had them as well. I thought that was a pretty cool little touch.
Yeah, I'm always being labeled the female Strowman.
No, he's the male Nia.
Nia Jax. Yeah. But it was awesome. I mean, to me, I thought it was great too. My aunt said the same thing. She was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this in years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the squash matches. And I mean, thank God I still being so green and not knowing I had like Fit to help me out and give me that confidence, like, oh, I'll do this, you know, Fit. He's like, throw her off the top rope and let her fall on her face. I'm like, okay, Fit. Yeah.
He laughs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's like, serious too. He's like, no, I'm not kidding. I'm like, oh, okay. But for me, being so different and being reintroduced, I thought that was probably the best way for me to be introduced to show like how big and powerful I am.
Right off the bat, it gives you some steam.
Yeah.
You know? What do you tell those girls, like the local girls, when they show up and it's like they know they're there to be squashed, but you know, I'm gonna just have to kick your ass.
Well, I'm always like, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I was like, it's gonna be a little snug in there. You're gonna feel and all of them are just like, yeah, of course, like, don't worry about it. Super cool, super friendly, like, always. I thank them so much after the match, give them big hugs, like making sure they're okay and just letting them know I
looking
appreciate
for
them.
A chance, right?
Yeah,
I just want a shot.
I mean, and that's so like respectable. There was one girl, she looked like Rainbow Bright. I don't remember her name, but I had a match against her and Fit was like, hey, have you ever been pushed over the top rope? And she's like, yeah, totally. And like, but you saw this like nervousness in her eyes. And I was just like, so we put her up there. She's like, I don't think I've ever done that. I was like, you've never done this before? I was like, well, you better speak up because you're about to do it tonight. She's like, I think I'll be okay. Literally, like the first time she ever, I remember, sat her on the middle of the top rope and I just pushed her. I literally just shoved her over. That's what, that was a fit. Fit special. That's what he wanted. And so she was like, and she took it. She's like, oh, it's totally fine. Thank you. And I'm like, well, I was like, next time, let somebody know.
Yeah, right, right, right. But that's the old Hollywood trick. If someone asks you if you can do something, Chris, do you know how to ride a horse? Of course.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, you got the gig. Then I go home and go on YouTube and learn how to ride a horse pretty damn quick, right? Exactly.
Well, you got to learn it in 2 minutes because we have a match.
Yeah, exactly, right? How was it? So you mentioned this earlier, and I want to get back to this. So you come in July and do some squashes and you have some matches, and suddenly here we are at WrestleMania.
Oh,
which
gosh.
Is originally was a three-way match, and then it becomes a four match. I don't know if that's true, if that's hearsay. Tell us about that story.
Well, it was. It was a
supposed to be a three-way.
It was supposed to be three-way. It was supposed to be a triple threat, and it was the week two weeks before WrestleMania that they had decided to put me in the match. So it was something where I was like, oh my gosh, you know, usually you like call your family, come out, my first WrestleMania match. It was like, I have 2 weeks to kind of like, you know, you have to get your tickets in way before that.
That's right, yeah.
And I just got like, made sure my brothers, because my brothers always want to come. I'm like, yeah, but come on out, like have a good time. And so I literally had to, you know, they had to rearrange all the kind of plans that they were having to, you know, then it became an elimination. And so.
Was it something that you heard like, listen, I don't want to get your hopes up here, but you might be in the WrestleMania match, or was it just completely out of the blue?
And like, I want to say like a little bit before that, they're like, oh, maybe, who knows? And then literally that same, like the day they told me that before, they're like, oh, they're not going to do it. And then like 20 minutes later, I hear from Hayes and Dog, they're like, oh yeah, you know, going to be a four-way. And then Fit was the one who actually was just like, oh, you're actually in the match. And then those guys were like, yeah, we're going to make it a four-way elimination. I'm like, holy crap. But that's how this place works. Yep. Like, you know, it literally could change.
Vince had his mind made up one way and then went, well, maybe we should put her in there.
Yeah.
You know, which is a great experience. So tell us about that.
For some reason, in like really high stressful situations, I get eerily calm. Mm-hmm. So that whole day I was extremely calm and like, but the second my music hit, on the ramp, Bailey had just gone out before me. I literally like peed a little bit in my pants. I did, because I got so scared. I was like, oh my gosh, what if I trip? And of course, Bailey's one of the floaty things was like across the ramp. And I was like, oh crap. So like, I'm like trying to be all badass. And then I see it and I like have to hop over as I'm walking down the ramp. And then the second I get to the bottom, I look to the right and I see my brothers and my aunt and my aunt Simone, Dwayne's daughter. And I like start to get teary eyed and I'm like, oh God, suck it. I had like literally had to like turn away. I couldn't look at them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But it was probably the best experience as of yet. Like it went by in the blink of an eye, but I couldn't even believe I had been in the match at WrestleMania after being called up.
Right.
Not so long ago.
After being a fan and all that sort of stuff. You know, you never forget your first WrestleMania.
No, you don't. And it was insane. Yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah, I remember when I had my first one because I was a huge fan too. And I went to WrestleManias, never live, but like to see it on pay-per-view or closed circuit, which is really old. But the first one, you're like, I can't believe I actually did it. I'm actually here. And then like you said, it's over and then it's right back to work next night. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
I want more WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was like, oh gosh, I'm done already.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already out. Damn. Yeah. Shit. It felt like, I mean, leading up to it, like your match with Kevin was right before. Mm. And I'm just sitting there like literally sweating, going like, oh my gosh, you know, it feels like forever before you're going to go out. And then you go out and like blink and it's over.
How much time did you have?
Our match was 20 minutes, from like with entrances. Mm-hmm. So I think by the time we actually started the match, it was 14 minutes.
Because that damn ramp was like the longest ramp in the world.
Yeah. Luckily, so Bailey went pretty quick. I went quick. Then Sasha got driven down. And then Charlotte, like, they had the whole, they had her stopping in the middle and doing the firework display. I think it was because that was where Rick's last match was in Orlando. So
right.
They had her with her big peacock. Peacock robe. So it was hers was probably the longest.
So when you're in a match like that, and obviously you're the least experienced of the four, but it's almost like, you know, you just keep your stick on the ice and you're going to score some goals.
Yeah.
Like just pay attention, right?
Bailey, Sasha, Charlotte, these girls are crazy good. And so they had all these ideas and stuff. And I'm sitting here thinking like, well, you know, I'm still the green one. I don't want to throw an idea and feel like an idiot or them, you know. So I'm sitting there going like, okay, maybe this, maybe that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're coming up with stuff and then Fitz throwing things. And I'm like thinking like, okay, I don't want to mess any of this up. So I literally just said, wherever you want me to be, I'll do it. Just tell me, like direct me. And so, I mean, to be in a ring with those girls and they've already accomplished so much in this business in such a short time, like, you know, Bailey and being the champ already, but then Sasha and Charlotte with their main event matches.
But it's one of those things that, like, you know, this is your opportunity, and it's not like you're going to be like, well, nah, I will fall. Like, you want to kill it too.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, you're going to rise to the level.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before I write, before big matches, I usually write down like on a notepad and paper just kind of like what I want to accomplish. Mm. And so it's like, be confident, sell, take your time, and have a good time. That's like literally what I wrote down. It was funny because my brothers like were in my hotel room. They're like, "What's this?" I'm like, "Well, it's just something I write to myself before every like before
That's everything. Great, yeah.
Just to like remind myself, like, go mm-hmm. out there, kill it, but have fun.
These are the directives. Enjoy yeah. it. Yeah. So. Did Rock watch it?
Yeah, he liked it. He was very proud, and that's one thing that like I always want to make sure that, you know, he doesn't have to support me or put me over on his social media or like, you know, stamp his name to mine. Mm-hmm. You know how he can be like, "Oh, okay, do it on your own." But he does, and I don't want to disappoint. Mm-hmm. You know, he's already accomplished everything in the world, I feel like.
Well, it seems to me from the course of this conversation that you are the one legit blood relative, okay. even though I didn't believe it. Tell me the lineage. Tell me the lineage. So I'm sure that he has a personal stake in it, obviously. And so that's very cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just – he genuinely wants to see me be successful mm-hmm. and happy. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, he – and don't get me wrong, he does love it. Like Tamina – and the Usos and Roman, like, they're all family.
Right.
They all, like, especially Tamina.
Yeah.
They grew up together. So they all get the same love. I just think I'm so new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, still, sure. Like,
have you worked with Tamina at all before?
Well, no, we've never worked together. We kind of got in the ring mm-hmm. a couple times just to kind of, like, you know, play around. But at the time, I was, like, NXT talent, and she's main roster talent. And they're really, down at the Performance Center, very,
very
like,
specific.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
They're like, "Oh, you can't touch her." Like, mm-hmm. it was only, like, Bailey was allowed to get in the ring with her because, you know, Bailey's
right.
safe. And
sure, sure, sure,
more.
Yeah.
So I've never actually, like, had a chance to.
That'd be interesting, like, from just the family perspective.
Oh, yes. You know? I think we could definitely put on some, like, either together we could go and just murder everybody. Or,
team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or against each other. I don't think anybody would have it, like, they'd be really surprised to see what kind of intensity and mm-hmm. like and power
family pride
have.
Yeah, yeah. Last couple of questions. Did you have any directions from Vince when you first came in as far as what he wanted from you or character wise
So obviously Vince is like the big dog, like mm-hmm. you know, he's yeah. he owns
top
this place
of food
like
chain,
this,
yeah.
yeah, this is so I kind of just wanted, you know, you hear everybody kind of like, "Oh, do this, you want this, this is what Vince would like, this is what Vince would like." So one time I just kind of was like walked in up to his office, kind of new, like really just kind of grabbing some balls of mine and being like, "Hey, Vince."
Super intimidating yeah. to knock on that door, on door and like, is he on the phone? Yeah. Is he eating?
Yeah. Does yeah. he want to see me?
Yeah.
He's like, "F off now."
Yeah.
But I walked in and he was just, you know, I just thanked him for any opportunity that he's given me so far. And I just was like, "Hey, from you, I want to know what you want from me in this division." And he just says, "You know, you're like the Andre the Giant of the females." He's like, "It's going to take a lot for these girls to get you down. You know, you're a killer. You're strong. You obviously you know, your size is bigger than them." And so he basically just told me, "You need to work. They need to work hard to get you down, and you need to not you need to protect yourself in that way."
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the immediate direction I got when I first got here. So I was always, but you know, the producers always are,
sure, sure,
they
sure.
know the direction, so they help me out.
Has there ever been any follow up where you did something that he didn't like and he called you over, or has it been pretty cool?
No, it's actually been pretty good. And but every time I after every match I thank him and he gives me some like critiques
yeah.
and stuff. So it's always like, you know, "Work on this, and I want you to be a little more explosive here, and I want you to sell a little bit here, and I want you to do things like that." And
it's good to get that direction though, because at least you know what he wants.
Exactly.
You know? Right.
It's hard trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And then like doing it and failing and you're like, "Oh gosh."
Whenever you try and figure out, it's usually wrong.
Yeah.
And even if he said it was the way they wanted it, you know, it's like, "You just told me you wanted that." "No, I didn't."
No, okay. Okay. My fault.
Last question, besides the WrestleMania match, what's been your favorite match that you've had?
It was actually a match I had with Bailey in NXT at NXT London. That was I think I'd been on TV for a little bit, and Bailey and I had all these ideas of things we could do. And Triple H was the one who actually helped us out a lot with that match. And that was probably – it was insane.
Crazy crowd reaction.
I mean, that crowd was – my first TV match, they hated me, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And Bailey was so over. And
right, right.
we got so much time, you know, Hunter was just like, you know, take your time, have fun. And I watched it again like the other day and I'm like, God, I loved that match. Loved it.
Do you watch a lot of your stuff?
I try to. I always like to watch and critique myself and get better at certain
things. At this stage of your career, it's important to do that, you know?
Well, we got that opportunity at NXT where we got Skull Session and we broke down every match and stuff, and you had your coach there telling you how
right.
So I definitely want to keep that up with myself because I have a lot to learn.
Well, you do, but you've been doing great.
Oh, I appreciate it.
You did great today.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Nia.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris.
You people are dynamite!
Had a great time with Nia Jax all around the world. Germany in particular was crazy. One of those nights we had some drinky winkies. Everyone went a little bit nuts. But she's a really cool chick. You can see that. And it's great to see all her success in the WWE. She's still learning, but she's learning fast. And she's got it in her blood, as we talked about. So very, very successful. Speaking of successful, how about Team Tiger Awesome? Killing it on the Jericho Network. And I think that's because they never failed to deliver the ridiculous or laughs.
This Saturday morning on Mr. T's Gymnastics Team, Season 4, Episode 21, Abacus Abraca. In between gymnastics meets, the team stops off at a local factory to see how Abba's Abbas are made. And during the tour, they're told they can have all the Abba's Abbas they want. But that extra Abba Zabba weight throws handsome Vince off his round-off back handspring to lose the match. So Mr. T's gotta smack those candy bars out of his mouth and whip him back into shape. Meanwhile, Jeff meets his hero, a young Jim Davis, and lives large eating Italian food with a certain lasagna-loving cat, only to discover that he's allergic. And red-headed Robin wakes up in a package in the middle of Abu Dhabi. It's an episode of Mr. T you won't want to purge and will definitely want to binge.
Get your laughs every Sunday morning with the Team Tiger Awesome Show at Apple Podcasts. And be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review as well. Leave all the Jericho Network podcasts 5-star ratings and reviews while you're at Apple Podcasts. Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus, a PhD in wrestling vernacular and wrestling analysis. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. Great interview with Gene Simmons a couple weeks ago when he was 11 years old. Pretty funny. Raven Effect. Raven's really ramping it up, talking about how he created the Dudleys, how he created Raven, how he gigged Tommy Dreamer. Go check that out. Of course, the flagship show, Keep It at 100 with Conan. This week they got some great UFC talk going on with those guys over there. Beyond the Darkness. Get your paranormal fix every weekday with brand new episodes 5 days a week. They are scary and terrifying. So go check all those out. Thanks for doing it. And one big last thank you to this episode's tremendous sponsors and to all of you for checking them out. All right, DDP Yoga. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDP Yoga related matching clothing. Then we go to Bombfell. Get $25 off your first battle juice at bombfell.com/Jericho. And then go to TrueCar. Save time, save money, save the hassle. Go check out TrueCar now. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next and coming up on Friday. It's the search for the perfect album. Now, what exactly is a perfect album? That means every song on the album has to be rated by the listener as an A- or higher. And these are rules that have been told to me by Sinister Gates and Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold. We had a conversation months ago about what is the perfect album. I wanted to revisit that, so I went and saw Metallica and Avenged in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, sat down with Gates and Christ, and we were going through what exactly could be a perfect album. Something by the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, Halloween, NoFX, Weezer. There's a lot of different ideas and thoughts. We're going to talk about that in search of a perfect album. Does one exist? We're going to find out this Friday. So thank you so much. We'll see you on Friday. Be cool. Have a great weekend or a great week or whatever it is that you are, whatever it is that you're doing. And in the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and big yeah!